There's no denying that gold is hot right now, and so is inflation. Prices are soaring, and experts are predicting there's more to come. Not so long ago, gold reached its all-time high of $2,069 an ounce, and now it's inching ever closer to that number once again. Bank of America, one of the largest banks in the world, is saying gold will rise further still to over $2,200 an ounce this year. Gold is already a safety net for your hard-earned money, and now when the stock market is all over the place and the value of the dollar is very uncertain, being safe really counts like never before. Now, there's always a risk of investment, and there's no guarantee of any kind, so do your own due diligence. Noble Gold is offering a 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin for any qualified IRA or old 401k rollover. Terms apply. A solid silver U.S. Mint issued coin celebrating our national parks, free with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Give them a call at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGTReport.com, and it's time for our monthly roundabout with Bob Kudla, the founder of Trade Genius. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today, guys, as the United States stands on the very precipice of a U.S. debt default. And frankly, it should default. Peter Schiff says it should default. It's time to get our house in order. If not now, when? Well, Bob Kudla has a lot to say about that. We'll play a soundbite from our fearless puppet in chief in just one second. But Bob, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Sean. Thanks. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, but let me play you a soundbite from the right puppet at the right time for the right crisis. Joseph Robinette Biden, lamenting that if we don't raise the debt ceiling right quick, well, he won't have any more money to give to Ukraine. Listen to this.
America cannot default on its debt. If we're to do that, it'll be catastrophic. It would be devastating for America and, quite frankly, the whole world. It'd be a recession. We'd find that everything was changed. Our economy would really crater. It really would have a profound impact on how we live our lives. We'd find ourselves in a position where we no longer were viewed as a leader of the world economically. And we can't let that happen. It's beyond comprehension. No serious person in either party has ever thought this was an option.
All right, Bob, I'm coming back to you. I have a lot to say about this, but you first. What happens if the debt ceiling doesn't get raised and the Republicans actually do their job for once?
Yeah, so there's a number of steps here, Sean. So number one, you know, we've done this 5 other times in the past where we had to go out of what they call extraordinary measures into some sort of lockdown. So there's actually a protocol. You know, people just make the assumption that the government doesn't take in money every day. They do. And so what happens is that you have a continuous stream of revenue coming in, and that revenue that comes in is going to be offset by priorities. So it's, you know, it's defense, it's interest on the debt, and it's, you know, homeland security and entitlements, and everything else gets shut down. And so they're going to, and then they also be able to pass what they call continuing resolutions to fund just enough of the government, you know, to keep the negotiations going until they reach a new quote unquote debt ceiling limit, or when we get to the budget here in the fall, you know, to get a budget for the new year. But make no mistake, when they say they're funding the government, they're funding it with new borrowings from the Treasury selling bonds. So, you know, we're technically, you know, we're a debtor that the credit card company keeps raising the limit on. So that's the process and the protocol. And we really never can default, because Joe Biden at any point, or any president at any point, could just direct the Treasury to print more currency. Okay. And when you print more currency, you're not going to the debt markets per se, even though currency is debt, but it's not debt in the way they define debt. And you can just print the currency and pay the debt. So all this stuff is just kabuki theater, and just to everybody try to work their priorities. But, you know, as of Wednesday morning, both McCarthy and Biden both came out and said they thought they're going to get a deal done by Sunday. So let's just say within a week or two, they're going to work this thing through. Janet Yellen probably has enough cash to get her through the next 2 weeks or so before they would have to resort to some sort of protocols to shut part of the government down. So that's where it is from my end. And I know we're going to talk, I'm going to explain a little bit to people what happens from a probability standpoint during each of these phases. So I'm going to throw it back to you and let you get your thought out.
No, I want you to keep going because, look, here's my question. Do we want them to raise the U.S. debt ceiling? Look, I know it's going to get bad, but it's going to get bad at some point no matter what. And eventually, I still believe we're going to hit hyperinflation of the dollar. So it's a little bit like having a loved one who's addicted to drugs. You got to get them into rehab and you got to take away the drugs. There's just no two ways about it. We're now nearly $32 trillion in debt. And in 1 second, I'm going to show folks what it costs to now service this debt. But my question to you is, Bob, do we want them to even do this? Because right now, the federal government is out of control. The southern border is wide open. This federal government does not represent we the people. Why would we want them to get any more money to do more damage to us? Because in my opinion, that's what they're doing every single day. They're hurting we the American people.
I don't think we the American people matter in this conversation. Of course, I would love for them just to clean it up right from the get-go because, you know, we're not the people that are benefiting from this largesse that's coming out. So we know that's not going to happen. So, you know, what's going to happen here, but you have to understand, Sean, there's a lot of things they can do. So it's going to be, we're going to Japanify before we totally default. And so what that means to Japanese a way of doing things is that we're going to, when interest rates get too high, they're going to yield curve control. That's the whole thing what Powell's doing here, allowing these interest rates to go higher, is going to give them runway then to drive this thing down into yield curve control. And what I mean by yield curve control is they'll literally fix the rate of debt. So you may have a $32 trillion debt, but they may drive all the bonds down to 1%. And that just destroys the interest expenses that are going to be incurred by the government. Now, you know, there's no free lunch. So what eventually happened there is that it's just going to translate into higher cost of living and inflation borne on the American people. But that's what the government's going to do. Look, these guys are not going to give up the mantle of power by defaulting on the debt. So that's what they're going to do. But in the meantime, what happens here is that Janet Yellen has to now, I think they're close to now, Sean, it's almost $1 trillion over the next 90 to 120 days they have to raise. And what that will do is that will raise the 10-year yield up higher. That will cause significant stress in the stock market. We've seen it before. This is just simple math. It drains the liquidity out of the banking system. And basically, the government is the only game in town for investments. So it just basically sucks all the oxygen out of the economy while she's doing this. And this will cause the markets, you know, we can see the markets fall between 15 and 30% over the next 90 to 120 days as she does this.
My God. You know, here's the other thing. And I want to show you something on Twitter here from one of these dummy Democrats in response to this whole subject. But in a world where we have $32 trillion in debt, just take a look at that U.S. debt clock, guys. How could it be possible? Of course, it is possible when the banks rig everything. But Bob, how could it be possible that gold has fallen below $2,000 an ounce here? In the midst of this debt discussion, gold should be doing exactly the opposite. Silver at 24, it's absurd. And I saw an article on Zero Hedge yesterday that said the gold trade looks crowded here. What a freaking joke. And we can talk about that here in 1 second, but I want to show you guys this. These dummy Democrats, just beyond the pale. I don't know who Kevin J. McCarthy is, but he's a public figure since he's on Twitter, so we'll give him some publicity here. He's a writer of science fiction. Huh. He lives in Southern California. Okay, makes sense. What does he say about this? He tells Joe, "Don't cave, Joe. America has your back on the Republican attack on our economy. Leave a heart if you believe President Biden should declare the debt ceiling unconstitutional." Bob, these people live in la-la land. They're clueless. And I bet that guy doesn't own any gold or any silver in physical form. Surely not Bitcoin.
Yeah. You know, look, the rule of law, the Biden administration just finished what the Obama administration started. It's basically they just got non-constitutional. And they're just saying, so what are you going to do about it? You know, so I think what happened was I think they got polling data that basically told Biden, you're going to get blamed for this because he's he's back with the Speaker of the House trying to get a deal done. So I saw that last week. You know, it's just like the border. Like, you know what? Screw you. You know, we're not going to answer any questions in Congress. You know, what are you going to do? We own the DOJ. You're not going to arrest us. So, you know, talk to the hand. And I think that's the same way here. They're like, let's force the issue here. But they have a problem because McCarthy can just simply just not budget them next year either. So I think that was just a bunch of, you know, bare muscles talking with regard to that. And it's off the table already. Biden's going to cut a deal. He knows that it's his constituents that are going to suffer greatly during a government shutdown. And the rest of the country is going to realize, maybe we don't really need the federal government as much as we thought. And they never want to give people a chance to see what it's like without them.
Yeah, it's like we all have a case of Stockholm syndrome, and the government is our captor. So I just want people to understand before we move on here, the cost of servicing this debt. This is a fiat Ponzi scheme. It is not going to end well, regardless of whether or not the U.S. debt ceiling gets raised. The cost of servicing this debt is now quickly spiraling out of control, Bob. Imagine you're $32,000 in debt and you have $87 left in your bank account. That's the U.S. government right now, but you still get a AAA credit rating. How does that work?
Because the Federal Reserve is going to be the guarantor of the debt. So what they're going to do is this, is, you know, so let's play a math game here. Let's just say all the debt that's outstanding in the economy right now is 5%, okay? And that's what that interest rate is being derived at. So Colin Powell could simply just say to the federal government, I want you to start selling bonds. I want you to sell $30 trillion of bonds over the next couple of years, and I want you to sell them at an average interest rate of 1%. Okay? We will buy every bond that you sell, and we'll put it on our balance sheet. And next thing you know it, that whatever hundreds of billion dollars of interest rate being charged for to the government goes to 1% of $31 trillion now. Okay? That's what they're going to do. And that's the last hurrah before they have to turn around and actually generate more currency to pay the debt. And the thing about people with the dollar, Sean, that people get really confused about is that everybody's waiting for the dollar to collapse. But what's it going to collapse against? Okay. So I tell people, stop worrying about what the dollar is against other currencies. And then you need to start focusing on what the dollar is going to be able to purchase. And I know that's why, you know, the stupid guy from the SEC, Gensler, he's trying to get in front of the Bitcoin train. And they've been trying to get in front of gold and silver train for a long time, because we're not going to have a dollar crisis. We're going to have a fiat crisis, which is going to be worldwide. And it's going to play out first, ironically, in China. And the Chinese know this. And they're trying to get in front of it. And they've been buying up gold and silver, as you can see in all the reports that you watch. And they've been selling their silver now to their citizenry. Well, they have their silver vault and their gold vault. They're almost sold out in China already. So the Chinese are going to be the ones that are going to suck out all the gold and silver from around the world. And they're going to suck it into China, so that their people have assets, because right now the assets they have is stock market and real estate, and both of those are going to implode, and they're going to give people tangible assets so they don't get taken out of power. And that's going to be the moment that is going to change for gold and for silver. But the thing that you're really going to see is when the bonds are bought by the Fed. When they have the QE again, this time they're not going to be able to subjugate out the hard assets. It's going to then explode Bitcoin, gold, and silver. And that's why you just have to keep adding to your positions here, or learn how to trade them in and out so that you can be building at a lower and lower cost basis, because it's coming now. They have no choice. If they're going to have to spend $2 trillion next year, Sean, It's going to push those precious metals and precious currencies higher. And now it's already started, you know, gold pushing over 2000 was huge. Silver getting to 24 is huge. But the Chinese sucking out all physical out of the West is going to cause these prices to skyrocket. And then also with Bitcoin, you know, Tether is starting to buy Bitcoin now. And I was talking to Phil, my partner who does this. He said going into next year, Bitcoin, Tether is going to be buying more Bitcoin that's actually even available for sale now. So it's going to become more and more intense, you know, in terms of people wanting Bitcoin. And then Bitcoin smart contracts are coming down the line too. So eventually you're going to see them absolutely explode. So, you know, people take heart. We're actually winning. Okay. It's just that these things, you're fighting against the most powerful enemy in the world, right? The US fiat dollar, you know, against your position. And you're going to have to, you just have to have courage, and you're just going to have to keep adding to your position, or learn how to trade through it so that you can be bringing your cost basis down until China gets their Minsky moment and we get our fiat moment, or we get yield curve control.
All right. I want to show people some attaboys here in just 1 second, because if I interpreted what you said earlier about that trillion coming from Yellen just in the next couple of weeks, it's going to cause a lot of havoc in the stock market. One wonders then how to be positioned. Obviously, you'd want to go short, maybe in certain names. So we're going to talk about that specifically, guys. But I want to show Bob this. Japanese stocks just hit a 33-year high and have further to go. Bob, is this occurring because of the debt issuance from Japan, because of the fiat pouring out, and they're just trying to stem the tide of hyperinflation in Japan, and all that money is now going into the stock market? It reminds me of what our stock market has done since that 2008-2009 low. They ran it up now to what, 33,000 on the Dow, 34,000 on the Dow. Look at the NASDAQ. It went up to 15,000. Similar thing going on in Japan. What's this all about?
Yeah, so the Japanese are slowly letting their yields rise in Japan. And what that's going to do, the reason why their stock market's going up, is money's actually coming back into the Japanese currency, Sean. And if the Japanese currency catches fire, there's so much money that the Japanese have sent overseas, a lot of it coming to the United States, that's going to get repatriated back to Japan. And that's going to cause additional pressure on the United States stock market. So we have a lot of things that are becoming singularities coming at this market at one time, but that's one of them. So the Japanese yen has been what they call a funding currency, like the dollar has been. And so when you see a lower yen, that means there's money being spent everywhere else in the world so that they can capture yield. Well, the Japanese are creating yield now for their own people, and they're bringing their money home, some voluntarily and some because they have to, because their currency is going against them. So this is negative for the U.S. stock market. It's positive for Japan. And if you notice, Warren Buffett went over to Japan and he bought a boatload of Japanese stock over the last 6 months. So yeah, that's a problem.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know Bank of America is saying gold will go to 2200 this year? An all-time high. Invest in a gold IRA with Noble Gold Investments today and take advantage of this rare opportunity to secure your retirement savings. Now remember, there's always a risk of investment and no guarantee of any kind, so do your own due diligence. But I myself own gold. With the experts at Noble Gold Investments, you can ride the wave of gold's historic rise to financial security amidst all the inflation. This month, they're offering a solid silver 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Hurry and go to noblegoldinvestments.com to secure your wealth and bag a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin if you qualify. noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. All right, so a couple of attaboys here. I played chicken today and sold Sting. I'm happy with the profits for today. Thanks, Bob. What is Sting and what are you doing moving forward, especially given what you just told us is probably coming in the short term for the stock market?
Yeah, Sting is Scorpio Tankers, and it's been on a run from like $9 up to $70, and it was getting another push higher, and he just basically said, man, I made enough profit, and I'm jumping out. And he was just thanking me for the trade. And this guy here, so one of the things that we do is, you know, in one of our rooms, the VIP room, if anybody wants to join that room, is we trade credit spreads. And he was just showing what his percentage is based on learning how to do spreads from our system. We have an algorithm that tells people whether you can start fading a direction. And he's been using that algorithm to make trades. And when he told me, I said, you have to give that to me, because I said, people won't believe it unless they see it. But he basically is like a 94% win rate, and he's averaging a 55.95% return rate on those options. And credit spreads are where you collect income up front and then you let the trade expire. And so, yeah, so we do really well with those. And it's a nice way for people to make money without making a directional bet where you have to be right. You just have to not be wrong. And I didn't see the third one that came up. So
the third one says nearly same profit percent for me in just a couple of days, sold at $61.11, made $640 with $10,340 invested.
Yeah, it's a pretty good move. So yeah, so we you know, we do pretty well. We have, you know, algorithms that look at what's called levels. We have algorithms that look at what they call edges, and we have algorithms that look at momentum. And based on those, we have a really good track record of wins to losses and what do you call a profit factor. Do you win more than you win than when you lose? But to answer your other question, Sean, is that we're looking for a rotation in the market here for Yellen to be able to sell her bonds and liquidity to dry up. And so we're looking, and something weird happened last week. We had 5 days in a row where the Dow was down and the transports were down. That usually signals a 15 to 30% correction. Last two times it happened in the last 15 years. And right when Janet Yellen's going to be selling bonds. So we're looking for a pullback this summer, and then for it to push back higher again, then we're looking for a deeper pullback once recession totally bites into the fall. And so that's how we're positioned, and we're taking those trades. So what I'm looking for people, just so you know, even on bullish gold, silver, and Bitcoin, if we get these sell-offs, they're not going to be able to avoid it. So we'll be looking to, we'll be looking to short the small caps with TWM. We'll be looking to short Bitcoin with BITI, and we'll be looking to short Cathie Wood's crazy set of stocks with SARK. And then now that we know that there won't be what they call a technical default, we'll be waiting to buy long bonds until she gets her $1 trillion under control. But you can actually short the 10-year by buying TBT. So we'll be looking at that. And if you don't mind, if I can make a quick pitch, Sean, on our service, is that if you come trade with us, we put together 7 bundles. You can pick one of those for stocks, trading crypto, or getting the VIP room. We're getting training, 65% off, good till Saturday. Or you can just promo code mom or mother and get 40, I think it's 40-45% off the top of my head, I don't remember, off a retail price, which if they're not, those are not been pre-discounted, and you can take advantage of our services. What we charge for service is nothing to what you get out of it. We think when the Fed has to engage again is going to be the time for Bitcoin, and it's going to be the time for gold and silver. But in the meantime, there's trades every day, so you don't get hung up on that. You know, make your money and keep adding to your positions in that area. So I appreciate you letting me pitch that. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I want to show something from 2008, 2009 in 1 second to get your opinion on it. But what I heard you say earlier in the interview is that you're bullish on Bitcoin. I guess in the long term, we're moving towards the halving, which is less than a year away. The next halving is taking place April 2024. But you just said short Bitcoin. Is that because as the stock market goes, so goes Bitcoin, because they haven't decoupled yet?
Because Bitcoin is really sensitive to Fed liquidity. Is that when Janet Yellen sells bonds, they're going to suck liquidity out, and it's been affecting the price of Bitcoin. Bitcoin has been breathing with the Fed liquidity, and plus there's just some couple gaps to fill. I'm not talking about a Bitcoin crash, you know. There's some gaps to fill down at like 23,000,
yeah,
in that area, and so we're looking for a push down into there, and then load the boat. The same thing with like Mara. Is that if Mara gets down into the mid sevens, you can load your boat on that. And that goes the same with like Riot and Wolf and all the other names, is that it's really going to take off. So, you know, we learned something with Bitcoin with the last Sunday a week ago when they the subsidy got overwhelmed by the fees. And that is really encouraging for the Bitcoin miners once most of the coins have been printed, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, digital printed, but made available, okay, to the market, is that those guys are still going to be able to make really good money doing the transactions. So we feel really bullish about the Bitcoin miners, but we don't want to be myopic here. You know, everybody, you know, with Bitcoin, it's a religious experience. You know, just be smart about it. When the Fed drops liquidity, it's going to pull back, but that's going to be a buying opportunity to move higher. And then it's the same with gold and silver. We think all three of those will not fall as much as the general market. And the general market could fall between 15 and 30%. But Bitcoin could drop from, what, 28,000 where it is today, had a good day today. It could fall back down to 23,000 over the next 6 to 10 weeks. And then that'd be a buying opportunity, I think, for the bigger lift.
Okay. Guys, we're going to go a little longer than normal today because I do want to cover the crime of the century with Bob too. But let me show you this, Bob, just one more thing to ask you about regarding this debt ceiling thing. A failure of government to extend the debt ceiling plus a May 18th SEC ban on short selling would crash markets exactly like the SEC ban on September 8th, 2008. Before I play some of this clip to remind people of what happened and what may be coming again, is that actually in the works? An SEC ban on short selling May 18th?
I don't think so because the banks and the market shot up higher. That would be an absolute disaster if they did it. And I'll comment more after you play this, but I'll explain why it'll be a disaster after you play the clip.
All right, I'll play this. And I do remember that C-SPAN clip from the exact same era, right around 2008, 2009, when one of these Congress critters was on C-SPAN talking about the run on money market accounts. He said by early morning, it was $550 billion. If we hadn't closed the window, there would have been a run on the banks to the tune of $6 trillion or more, and the entire system would have collapsed. Guys, that was 2008, 2009, and things are only far, far worse with far, far more debt now. So here's a reminder of what happened then.
The S&P is of greater concern to you than the Dow. At 8%, we are now in the range of one of the top 10 losses on a percentage basis in the history of traded markets. So this is very serious. Now, all of this is to say, Rick, that the markets are not, in fact, the story here today. The stock market can continue to make money, trade up or down. We're back in that minus 700 territory now. The issue here is credit markets are frozen.
All right, I'll pause it there. We don't need to listen to the whole thing. I just think this is very amusing in hindsight. The gift of the lens of history. Let's look back with the gift of hindsight. The Dow was at, what, 10,400, and they're panicking over a 700-point drop in the Dow. So let's just paper over everything, right? Let's bail everybody out. When I say everybody, I mean the banks, not the mortgage holders, just the banks that were operating criminally with mortgage-backed securities and wrapping them up in derivatives and then losing track of them. Let's just paper it all over. So now we sit at a Dow around 30-some thousand, and nothing's changed. It's only gotten worse, except the rich have gotten richer, Bob.
Yeah, so, you know, the short selling ban, you know, short selling provides a break on the system because people who short the market have to cover their position and that gives an automatic buy to the market. So when they, and we actually did a podcast on this last week, when they did the short selling ban in 2008, the market went up for, I think, 1.5 days, basically a massive short squeeze. You know, because all those people had to cover their short positions, they got hammered. And then after that, for the next, 4 months, the market fell 50%. And there was nobody to backstop them anymore. It just basically died of indifference and people selling. There was nobody to cover because they're making money on the short side. That got banned. And that's what's going to happen again. So they take out the circuit breaker and all you have left is sellers. And then what you can do is people just went to the indexes and bought puts. So everybody, what they did was they shifted everything to the index. Everybody bought puts and the market crashed. And so, you know, you have Jamie Dimon there saying, oh, maybe we should do a short selling ban on banks again. I'm like, please, please do that. Because that would then instigate the big sell-off that everybody, they feel needs to happen to get this market cleansed a little bit. But I think everybody's so worried, Sean, they don't know where the bottom is on this. So everybody, you know, these guys can't absorb any pain. So they're always looking for a cheap way out.
All right. Well, now I want to bridge in the time we have left to the crime of the century and the Durham report. And I just want to play this clip. This is President Donald J. Trump commenting on the criminal known as Adam Schiff. And the guy knew what you're about to hear is absolutely on point. This guy, Adam Schiff, and the entire Jan 6 committee, they knew that they were a bunch of liars. They knew what the truth was. They knew the DOJ, the FBI. They were all in on it. The Steele dossier, the DNC, all funded by Hillary Clinton to target Donald J. Trump, to bring him down, to try to prevent him from becoming president in the first place. And then once he became president, well, trying to impeach him and get him kicked out. Listen to this.
I remember, and I told you the story where they walked out, where Adam Schiff, the crooked guy, such a crooked guy, little Adam Schiff, he walks out, Shifty Schiff, he walks out to the press. He wasn't supposed to because he was in a meeting of so-called intelligence, right? But he walks out to the press and he says, Donald Trump Jr. will go to jail for life for what he's done here. And he knew it was a phony thing. He's saying that a young man has to go to jail for life because of what he did on Russia, Russia, Russia. And he knew that it was a hoax. Think of how bad you have to be.
He knew it was a hoax. How bad do you have to be to do that, right? It is one of the Ten Commandments that were violated there. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. But that's what these guys do all day long. How does this story end? And then I have one more soundbite to play about the deep state. And if Trump gets back in, what needs to happen, Bob?
Well, I mean, look, nothing's going to happen unless, Trump or somebody like him gets in charge of the Department of Justice, because the Democrats are very strategic. The Republicans need to really, really study what they do. They've created sanctuary cities for themselves. Okay, so in Washington, D.C. and New York, even if you're a criminal, but you're a Democrat, you'll never get prosecuted. If you get prosecuted, you never get convicted. And so we got to start getting these trials out of these venues that are protected. They're sanctuary cities for politicians of the left. So nothing's going to happen unless that changes, unless we have a major dislocation in the economy and people start paying attention like they started paying attention to schools last year. So that's that. Now, if you're going to ask me about Trump, of course, if Trump gets in, he's going to go full banshee on these guys.
Yeah, I pray to God it happens. I really do. I want to show one more clip. On the way to get to that clip, I do want to just show you guys this. Target has gone woke. They should go broke just like Bud Light, guys. They're pushing this trans insanity on our kids. The minute you walk into a Target store, pride shirts everywhere. And I think I will just sound up on this for 1 second. Here's what they're pushing on our boys today. And then I'll make one more comment about Target
Corporation. Ma'am, where's the boys section?
Right there.
Ma'am, is this? You got to be kidding me. Is this the boys section too?
That is for boys.
Now, if this ain't pushing an agenda, I don't know what is. This is sick.
You know, I'll pause it there. I used to work for Target Corporation for a decade. I worked in the marketing department. A lot of people who have listened to me for some period of time know that. I directed some of their commercials. I was an executive producer, a creative manager, and I worked with great people. That's not who's in charge of Target anymore. My career at Target ended back in around 2008, friends. And I got to tell you, the corporation known as Target used to give 5% of their pre-tax profits back to the communities in which they did business. They did that from the inception of the company, previously known as Dayton's, then Marshall Field's. Then, of course, Target was spawned in the 60s. It was a two-tiered corporation. Target eventually ate the parent company, Marshall Field's, Dayton's. And it's turned into this behemoth, which does not care about your children and has become one. I suggest boycott Target as if it was Bud Light and teach them an important lesson. Friends, seriously, the time has come. Act with your pocketbook. All right, last clip I want to play. This is Dan Bongino telling our beloved former president, who should still be president, what he needs to do when he wins in 2024. He needs to clean house of the deep state. Here's President Trump's response.
Just the first 100 minutes, we need everybody gone who cannot pledge allegiance to the Constitution and pledges allegiance to the Democrat Party first.
Well, after looking at the report and after seeing, and don't forget, I did a house, I fired a lot of people, but the deep state goes deep.
Hey, firing yep. Comey was not, you know, that was, and I fired him very early. You know, a lot of people said, why did you wait so long? He was fired very, very early. And right. It was a great firing. I'm telling you, they were looking to do real bad. This was a coup that they were looking at. These are sick people. So, yeah, the only a fool would not do that. You have to do it deep. Not only there, you have to do it in a lot of other locations.
All right, I'll pause it there. Bob, I'm coming back to you. Look, it was a coup. Those who know, it was a coup. And we're not going to get the truth from CNN or Washington Post, Bezos blog. We're not going to get the truth from CNBC or MSNBC or NBC Nightly News with CIA asset Lester Holt. But the people know. So what I've been saying at this point, Bob, is we do live in a banana republic where there is no more rule of law. There is no more equal application of justice under the law. And I think we have less than 2 years to right this ship. If they steal another election, are you, sir, going to look for an escape plan from this country? Or do you think there will still be something left to fight for that we can save?
If they sweep again, then pretty much all our constitutional rights will get obliterated in the courts, because they'll just they'll stack the courts, and the First Amendment will be bastardized to their benefit. The Second Amendment will be eliminated, and you'll be pretty much under tyranny. So, yeah, I mean, you know, at that point, you're going to have to start looking for another place to live, because. But I don't think it's going to get to that point. I think the country will become ungovernable to them, and you know, one thing that people just pull a map out and look where these people live versus the people that are normal live. And the food and the energy and the metals, you know, all have to go through those waterways, through those railways, you know, through those towns and cities with those truck drivers. Okay. And you're going to have almost like a Hunger's game. Whoever wrote the Hunger Games was really projecting out into the future. Because I think that's where we are, but I think it'll become the third book.
The third book. All right. Well, we'll see how the third book plays out. And I'll just say one last thing regarding this debt ceiling. Look, we hear a lot of talk about the FBI should be defunded after what we've discovered due to the Durham report, which you knew and I knew, but now it's official. It's on the record. The same is true with the CIA. The same is true with so many of these alphabet agencies. The FDA, for instance, completely criminal. It's a revolving door with Big Pharma. Maybe not increasing the debt ceiling is the best way to save our country from these tyrants. Let's just defund them all. They can't operate if we don't raise the debt ceiling, right?
Hey, well, maybe what they should do is, you know, the president keeps the Department of Justice, but the party out of power gets to run the FBI and create that tension.
Well, that's one idea. I mean, look, something's got to change, because what's happening right now does not work. And in fact, it is making us a banana republic. Typically, yeah. We only see these things in third world countries where the political party in control persecutes and goes after their opposing political party. And now we see that with the Biden administration, a completely criminal puppet administration, in my view. And guys, we're going to keep an eye on all of these important stories. We'll get Bob back on in 30 days to talk again. Bob, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
No, hey, thanks for having me, Sean. It's always fun conversations.
All right, brother. Thank you. Hang in there, and we'll talk to you again soon. And friends, I'll leave the link to Trade Genius below. And in the meantime, my thanks to all of you for tuning in. And a reminder, for real news every single day for free, join us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and yours, friends. Bye-bye.
What don't we talk about when we talk about Epstein and say someone like Prince Andrew? The fact Prince Andrew was the UK's arms dealer. We don't talk about the Khashoggi connection. And what's important about this case is that we're getting insider looks at how the banksters looked at Epstein and worked with Epstein.